This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes is an expert in CSR and philanthropic giving, and her co-host, Vicki Bolson, is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company that was also the first B Corp certified company in Indiana. Kathy and Vicki became friends and equally passionate about CSR when they first worked together several years ago. Join them as they talk about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hi there, and welcome to Taking Care in Business. I'm Kathy.
And I'm Vicki.
Today's guest, as Vicki mentioned, is Bryce Gosnell. Bryce is formerly with Grist.org, which is a nonprofit environmental media website with a focus on a millennial audience and environmental change makers. He also was with Lonely Planet series for nearly a decade. And he is on the phone. As Vicki said, he resides in San Francisco with his partner and two children.
And I'm excited for our listeners to hear Bryce, like I said earlier, because Bryce, you were just referred to me through someone, and I honestly can't remember who it was, because you wanted to talk to people in Indianapolis about kind of the, just, you know, the job market and really what's going on here. And I so much enjoyed talking to you. And by the end of our hour-long conversation, I said, oh my gosh, I want you to be a guest on our podcast. So welcome. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's nice to meet you, Kathy, yeah. And hello again, Vicki.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about, I guess you could go back to our time we met and we talked, and what you took out of it, and why, I mean, I have my interpretation of it, but why did you want to talk to me, and what did you get out of it and learn about Indianapolis and the possibilities of this being a city that is similar to San Francisco and New York, the other places that you've lived?
Well, first off, I grew up in Indiana. Grew up right outside Indianapolis, in a small, at the time, it was more of a farm town, Brownsburg, but lately I think it's more of a suburb of Indianapolis. As you mentioned, I worked in New York and been in San Francisco for almost 13 years now, but we're considering the possibility of moving back to the Midwest in the area that I grew up. And so that's what prompted me to reach out to you, Vicki, to get a sense of the job landscape there. You know, primarily what I'm looking for, and what, again, in our conversation was mission-based organizations. Now, whether that's a nonprofit or it's a B Corp, I think that, you know, there's a lot of benefits to both of those. But that's my primary focus in terms of what my next career opportunity is going to be. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you get a certain point in your career and you feel as though, I'm speaking obviously personally, but you get to a certain point in your career, I felt very, like I had taken it as far as I could in the career that I was in, and I wanted to do something that was more, that was not just about bringing in a lot of money for an organization, but it was actually bringing in money for an organization that actually has a bigger purpose than just let's just raise our bottom line. And that's how you and I connected at that point.
Can you, I'm trying to put some data that I recently was given by a speaker we had at a Women Presidents Organization event, and Kathy might remember more of the specifics, but she was a millennial expert, and she talked to us about how to work with millennials, and she gave data about how, I think it was like 40% of the workforce, more than 40%, currently are millennials. Gen Xers are like 20-something percent, mm-hmm. and the baby boomers make up the rest. And that millennials, you know, we all know that they want to work in companies with, you know, better benefits. They're more socially responsible. They are meaningful, blah, blah, blah. But you aren't a millennial. You're a Gen Xer. Do you think that your sort of viewpoint on wanting to work in a company with a cause or more meaning is something that's unusual to your generation, or do you think that that's typical?
That's a good question. I don't necessarily think it's unusual, because I hear it from a lot of former colleagues and friends that I have. I think that the difference is I'm actively pursuing that direction. And a lot of people, I think, would like to do that, but they're just not in the place where they are at this point in life. And I think with Gen Xers, a lot of us are either in mid-career or in a have gone up through the ranks and are a certain point in our career where we actually feel comfortable. We might have young kids, or we still might have kids at home, rather. And so we actually need maybe the safety net of the career that we've been in for 15, 20 years. For me personally, it's a little bit different because I've moved out of that. And even though I have young kids, it's still something that I feel strongly enough that I actually want to transition into those mission-based organizations. So I don't necessarily think that it's something that Gen Xers don't care about. I think that it's just where they are in their lives right now actually is dictating a lot of their decisions. And as to whether or not they can actually make that change, it's personal for everyone. I think the benefit that I have is I'm actually looking at moving outside into a different city. So that actually provides some flexibility as well.
And Bryce, has this whole kind of orientation towards social responsibility and shared value, has that been something that's really been a thread through your career?
It has. It's interesting. When I first started my career, I worked for a publisher in New York City. And while I really enjoyed the work, I felt as though it was very exciting. It's fun to be in New York, especially in the publishing industry. I wasn't personally satisfied. And I think a lot of that had to do is because I want my work to be something more. But I didn't want to start my career over in the sense of going back to school to get a degree in nonprofit management or something like that. So where I've been trying to get creative is how can I take the skills that I have and come in from the side. So in that case, I had worked for a travel guide publisher in New York, and there's another travel guide publisher, more globally recognized, called Lonely Planet, who actually acted like a nonprofit. And I mean that in the sense that they had a Lonely Planet Foundation. They also were very, very conscious about the mission of the org was not about, hey, let's just create travel content and give people books so that they can go on this wonderful trip. Of course, that's what we wanted them to have. We wanted them to have great content. We wanted them to have wonderful experiences. But for us, and all of our messaging was about how do we connect people at different parts of the world so that they have these unique experiences and they can actually bring those experiences back to their local communities. Because that's how you actually start creating empathy and compassion. Mm-hmm. And that was everything. All of our messaging was about that. And to give you a good example, there was one initiative I was trying to move forward specifically for the North American audience. And I needed some funding for that, and I had gone to our CEO to have that type of discussion. And she said, you know what, I see where you're going. You're right. It is an opportunity in that market, but I feel as though it's not actually anchored against what our mission is. And so because of that, I don't think it's the right opportunity for us. And, you know, that was the first time in a business setting that I'd actually had a CEO say, yeah, okay, yeah, we can make money doing that. But you know what? It's not the right thing we should be doing. And so that was a really refreshing conversation for me and sort of a wake-up call as well, because what it required me to do was to actually think more creatively about how we could grow our business at the same time staying true to the mission of how do we connect people globally, you know, having unique experiences. And I think from there is when I went into GRIP at that point, specifically to manage a nonprofit, you know, sort of building on the direction I want my career to move into.
So tell us a little bit about GRIST.
So GRIST is a, as you gave a great description of, is a website that provides news and commentary and articles about sustainability, issues around green issues, issues around sustainability, environmental issues. Their audience is primarily focused on millennials, although I like to think that it's not necessarily so targeted on that age range, but more people who have more of a millennial mindset. In my time there, I really wanted to try to expand that thinking. And I think that what they're really good at doing is actually taking a lot of very complex environmental issues and creating content and reporting around those issues so that in every every person can understand. Because I think sometimes with issues around sustainability and green issues, you can think, oh, I don't understand that. That sounds so complex. You know, I don't understand all these EPA regulations or anything like that. What GRIST, what we did there was really try to bring that, take the complexity out of all these issues that people might not have an immediate understanding to, and create content to help them understand how this actually affects them in their everyday life. And a lot of what we would do is we would do video explainers, did a lot of that in my time there. We also did a lot around, started to touch on infographics, just another way of how to explain complex issues in a more succinct and user-friendly way. And that was really exciting because what it was doing is something that I cared about, which is the environment. But I don't come from an environmental background. I come from a media background. And so I definitely understood that, you know, for people to grow your audience and to raise awareness of your mission, you have to be able to speak in a way that they can actually relate to and understand.
Wow. We've had environmental guests on before, and I it's an area that I care about too, but it's sometimes overwhelming, and it was an area that on the B Corp certification, it was hard for us to you know, really do a lot of the things on that assessment because we lease our space. What are some things that you know, without having probably looked at the B Lab assessment, but if people in companies you're in a, you know, at a dinner party and people are talking about the environment, do you have some tips that you would suggest that companies or people do?
Well, I mean, there's some very simple things where, you know, my first question when this would come up would be, well, does your company recycle? Pretty simple, but you'd be surprised at how many companies actually don't. Now, I think that's changed a lot in the past 10 years. And in California, it's a requirement. We're legally required to recycle. Mm-hmm. So if you're not recycling, that's a bigger issue. But I think at other states where it's not actually the law that you have, or I should say San Francisco, but in other states when it might not be the law to recycle, I mean, that's a very simple thing that you can start immediately. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is get your containers and start putting your recycling in and just do some very quick research, very easy to do in terms of what can actually be recycled in your city and state. So here in San Francisco, we can recycle almost everything. Mm-hmm. It's paper, plastic, anything that's can, you know, be broken down. We also compost, which is also the law in San Francisco. We actually have to have compost containers. I'm very religious about that as well. And I think, and that's something else that people can think about. Even if there isn't, the city doesn't have compost facilities, there's no one to pick it up or something like that, what if there's a garden? What if there's a community garden that you could actually create composting and someone could actually bring that compost to that community garden? And we actually had that at Lonely Planet where we didn't have anyone who could actually come to where our office was to pick up the composting, but we still were required to do composting. So we actually, people would volunteer to actually take composting to specific gardens throughout the city. And that was just something that people would raise their hands to do. So that's something very low lift, doesn't take a lot of effort, and is really just can be start tomorrow. There's no reason why you can't immediately turn that on. Mm-hmm. I think some other things, just again, these are common sense things, but sometimes you just need to be reminded what they are. Turn off the lights when you leave a room. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we actually had specific, we had put in, I guess, don't know how to describe it, but we had put in, the word I'm looking for.
LED lights?
We did have LED lights, but it was more specific movement.
So dimmers and all that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. The lights would turn on automatically. When you left the room after a certain amount of time, the lights would actually turn off.
I have those in my office.
Very low cost. to actually do that. And we just had our facilities manager actually set all that up in all of our offices and conference rooms. And sometimes we would even turn it off. It was a very sunny day. We were like, we don't need the lights in here. And we would just turn it off. Mm-hmm. You know, in publishing in particular, very use a lot of paper. So we actually worked really hard to actually reduce our paper output. And that was a very conscious effort by us in the office. And to that meaning that, you know, if you don't have to send it to a printer, don't. You know, let's work electronically. Where a lot of us are walking around, but, you know, technology is now at a point where you can actually work on an iPad, and I've done that, where you're actually just that is your main computer, and you're actually taking that from meeting to meeting, taking notes with it. And, you know, it's hard to say that you can never have paper, I think, in an office environment, but it is something that we really pushed hard to do, and we reduced our paper output significantly, because it was just something that everybody would just print something.
Right.
Like, well, why do you need to print it?
Right.
Let's try to change our mindset around that.
Is there a lot of carpooling in San Francisco?
Well, in San Francisco, I mean, we're fortunate that we have a really good public transportation system. So for most of us, we would just take BART or, we would take, our office was based in Oakland. We would just BART over to the office. But a lot of us would also carpool. So there were a few of us that actually lived in San Francisco. Most of the staff actually lived in Oakland. But for those of us who were in San Francisco, yeah, we would actually do carpooling at least two or three times a week. Mm-hmm. Maybe just be like, hey, you know, what time are you leaving? Can we carpool tomorrow? We also had the benefit of, when you carpool back into the city, you get to go in the carpool lane, which actually makes things go a lot faster at rush hour.
Well, that's why I wondered. We have a company here in Indianapolis, Endangered Species mm-hmm. Chocolate, and that's one of the things. They have a carpool parking spot in their parking lot,
right.
Which is pretty
right
cool.
Yeah, exactly, and right in front. So, Bryce, you've given us some great examples about environmental modifications and things that organizations can do. Would you have any advice to share with our listeners about just getting started in a CSR orientation, like how to get started, how to bring CSR into the workplace?
Sure. Well, I think if someone's interested in working in an organization like that, who wants to move into an organization like that, you need to start having conversations with people. You need to, you know, obviously do your own research, but I think it's looking out for identifying where are the things that are important to you. Like, I know the issues that I feel passionate about, and then I can start aligning those interests up with specific organizations and start reaching out to them. Now, coming from a more for-profit space, even though those for-profit businesses did have, or at least Lonely Planet did have a mission-based, you know, was mission-based, I think that it's more about getting creative about how my skills can actually translate into other areas. And that's something that I think people should also look at. So in my own personal conversations, what I found is that a lot of nonprofits or organizations, maybe some B Corps, they might not have all the skills they need, and they're actually interested in people who come from a for-profit background because they have a different type of professional toolkit that they can actually bring into the organization that it's been traditionally challenging for nonprofits to actually fill those types of roles. Now, I think that landscape is changing, but I think where things are right now, it's not at the point where nonprofits have people who have branding experience or might have content marketing experience or understand, you know, P&L management or strategy growth or something like that, especially when they're trying to take them from one level to another. And where I've seen a lot of interest in conversations is how to not be so reliant on contributed income and try to grow some earned income. Mm-hmm. Because I think we can all understand the challenges with contributed income. If that foundation doesn't come in, if that foundation money doesn't come in that year, you don't have a lever to pull. It's too late. It's
right.
Very difficult to actually put in another grant immediately to try to get some more money. And what that means is it's going to change what you as an organization can actually do. So I think for people who are looking to transfer in, I think it's understanding what your skills are and how those might translate into particular organizations. But you got to start from what are the things I'm most passionate about and trying to make your connections that way.
That's a good note to end on, I think.
Yeah.
It's been great hearing some of the stuff you've shared today. And if people want to find you, Bryce, just to reach out to you to ask you a question, or, you know, maybe they want to hire you here in Indiana, where can they find you?
Well, you can go to LinkedIn and find my profile, and it has all my contact information on there. It's probably the best way to find me.
Okay, wonderful. And listeners, if you would like to reach out to us, if you have suggestions, comments, guest prompts, whatever, we'd love to hear it. You can visit our website, Taking Care in Business, which is takingcareinbusiness.com, or visit us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z.
And we'd love to hear from you on email, which is info@takingcareinbusiness.com. We'll talk to you soon. Let's give a big thank you to Matthew Sosi, our podcast engineer. You can visit the Taking Care in Business website at takingcareinbusiness.com.
Or just visit us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can email us at any time at info@takingcareinbusiness.com.
Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, take care in business.